In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, a podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center, this is Binge or Cringe.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
What has been playing constantly at my house is a show called BuzzFeed Unsolved Supernatural. Not Supernatural.
Those seemed like three unrelated words.
Well, it's kind of like Pixar's blah, 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 BuzzFeed Unsolved : Supernatural. It is... Did we have this conversation recorded, or did we just have this conversation?
I think we just had this conversation.
Okay, because now it's coming back to me. We just had this conversation. It is essentially a Scully and Mulder situation. Two guys who started doing a show on YouTube years ago, and then BuzzFeed hired them.
Just like the first episode of The X-Files.
Exactly, on YouTube years ago. And it's a guy named Ryan and a guy named Shane. And Ryan believes in everything. Now, he doesn't believe in everything like the most ridiculous things ever. Let me rephrase. He will believe in it if he can rationalize it. Shane believes in virtually nothing ever.
So, you're not far off on the Mulder and Scully comparison. Like, you got to have facts if you want Scully to even decide if she wants to believe you.
Yes.
Mulder, on the other hand, like, he is a puppy, mm-hmm. and he wants to play with whatever toy or whatever you have in your hand. It's just, what, ghosts? Okay, yeah. What?
Mm-hmm.
A UFO? Okay, all right, wait.
So, for the most part, they are looking to prove the existence of ghosts. And the best part about the whole thing is, well, Shane. Really, the best part is the tall guy who doesn't believe in anything. And it's their play off of each other. And so it was, of course, initially very low budget because just two guys saying, hey, let's just do a show on YouTube. You know, the kind of thing you and I always say and then never follow through with. And now look at them. They're famous and have money.
Well, I mean, I could totally buy us doing something like that.
Oh, yeah. So what they did was, I guess it started around where they lived. It's like, let's go someplace where it's allegedly haunted. And so the show is, here's the deal. We're going to this restaurant that's haunted because across the street used to be the hangman's yard. And they would sell dinners to watch people get hung for entertainment in the 1800s. And,
man, you know,
by the way, that's a real thing.
You hear stuff like that, and you're like, you hear about the things that are quote unquote offensive today,
mm-hmm.
and you learn about facts like, oh yeah, that's at the Hangman's. Oh, what kind of, is that a theme restaurant? Do they just have like a lot of nooses hung up in the ceiling and like you can buy hats and t-shirts? No, they'd make you like a steak or maybe like some rabbit,
uh-huh.
and, for entertainment, they're like, oh, what? There was a song and dance? No, they would hang people.
Yes.
Like, hang them by
their
neck?
Well, not in the restaurant.
No.
But they were being punished outside, yes.
Right, but I'm just saying, like...
This was back before cable.
And nobody, like, hashtagged it on Twitter. No one protested it.
No.
Matter of fact, it was probably really popular.
Probably.
Like, just... I'm imagining...
That happened in the England.
What would happen if somebody, like, I don't know, like, they come to, you know, the guy that, you know, owns Taco Bell, KFC, and whatever, and they're like, I got an idea for another restaurant. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we're listening. We've got a successful chain of restaurants. What are you suggesting? They're like, all right, we make, I don't know, biscuits. But while you're eating the biscuits, we kill people by hanging them from a tree about 30 yards away. And they're like...
People will pay double.
And they're like, okay, well, biscuits, that's good. That last part, though, are...
Not on board.
Can we change that? Maybe to a cartoon mouse? Or
yeah.
Literally anything but that.
So, places that have tales, and sometimes they talk to people who have seen this or that. They do a little bit of research to, you know, provide you with some information so you can Google as you wish. And they have what's called a spirit box, which just makes me laugh.
Is it like a shoe box?
It is. Let me see if I can remember this correctly. It involves radio frequencies, and it changes frequencies, I believe on the AM, every half a second or so, because that's how otherworldly beings will communicate with you, by going in between the frequencies.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. So it's one of those things where you've listened to static. We all have. And if you listen to enough static and breaks in static and then static again, oh, he said my name. He said, no.
Well, I'd argue that's probably the same phenomenon that allows us to find, like, shapes and clouds. Like,
yes.
Your mind wants to organize material.
Yes.
Like, that's what it does. So, like, when you look up and see a cloud and you're like, oh, that's a pirate ship, or, you know, like, oh, that looks like a ring or something like that. That's just your mind trying to make sense of things and kind of correlating it to you in mm-hmm. data that you can process.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in as much as like static or it sound, your mind is still going to try to organize nonsense.
Yes.
Like spend a day with like a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. Like that's why your mind starts to go crazy, because it can't correlate all that nonsense. Like, it's just
there's
like
a lot
there's,
going on.
There's nothing to you. I can't draw through a damn sharding draw.
So on the one hand, I find it entertaining just because of the random bits of nonsense that they're talking about. It's like, oh, I did not know that. Now, the Lizzie Borden thing, they went to Lizzie Borden's house. I know all about that. And then when they said, you know, there's even a chant about it, I already knew the chant, but in my mind, Bill Murray was saying it, and it was the human children have this eerie little chant.
I mean, to be fair, what do you not picture Bill Murray is not like? I'm gonna be honest. Like, he narrates a lot of my life.
Yes.
Not the actual Bill Murray, but his voice
in my head.
Yeah. Does.
So that, I just, as soon as he started the Lizzie Borden took an X and gave her mother 40 wax. I'm saying this in case you don't know it. And when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. Maybe backwards. Somebody got 40 and somebody got 41.
And there was some rhyming.
Yes, there was rhyming. So what they do is they'll go and spend time, usually sleep overnight in wherever is haunted. So they did that in the Lizzie Borden house and things like that. And, of course, everything's at night, and apparently only ghosts can talk to you then, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, by and large, that seems to be when ghosts communicate.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, anything. And again, I'm also going by movies, because yes, that's what informs everything that I say. They're always at night.
So you have that
Casper the Frightened.
No, it's being filmed. A lot of it's being filmed in the See in the Dark thing. What is that? You know, it's the color is weird because they're filming at night.
Oh, it's like if they're doing the night vision.
Yeah, night vision.
Okay.
Night vision. So half of it will be in night vision, and then you'll have them somewhere else discussing it, and then they will have played back what they have recorded, and in one show, the believer was sure it was a woman screaming, and Shane said, no, that's a bird, and that's a different bird. So there's that.
You want to have a successful, like, whatever, be it a film, a television show, getting a good, like, high concept, like, you know, for the X-Files, FBI Explorers, or for, like, say, Lethal Weapon, like, you want to have two characters that are so juxtaposed mm-hmm. against one another, like, they just don't see eye to eye on anything. Put that with a high concept, and it seems to be a recipe for success. Neil Simon did it with the odd, make two people, you know, mm-hmm. one's a mess, one's a neat freak, move them into the same apartment together, you know, with the X-Files.
get a believer and a non-believer. They've got to investigate stuff, and boy, does it get weird. Lethal Weapon. One of them, he's too old for this stuff, and the other one, oh, he's crazy. He's nuts. He's nuts. And they're going to solve crimes together. Ooh. Like, it's just, it is, people love watching people that just do not agree on anything, and usually they like it when the probably the crueler, in most cases of them,
yes,
likes to snap and chastise,
yes,
the other one, especially to be like, no, that's a bird. You're an idiot.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Allen talking with Adam Cravens about what is worth watching, and this is certainly worth binging. It is BuzzFeed Unsolved Supernatural. Now, they've been with the BuzzFeed for 4 years, and they have, you can see the production values have grown and all. It's very entertaining. There is other BuzzFeed Unsolved stuff, but I'm specifically talking about BuzzFeed Unsolved Supernatural, and it always remains, wait for it, unsolved.
So it's almost like a... You said BuzzFeed, Unsolved, and then this one, what was it, Paranormal?
No, this one is Supernatural.
Supernatural, I'm sorry. So, like, it's almost like the different, like, CSIs and NCISs.
Yes.
Like,
there's BuzzFeed, Unsolved, True Crime, which has the same two guys as well. And they do join in on ruining history, which is all right.
They go back in time.
And ruin stuff.
Oh, wow.
BuzzFeed, Unsolved, Sports Conspiracies... And not both of the same host, but one of them. But the Supernatural thing is what they started on YouTube, as I understand. And it's just entertaining. And it does change conversations in the house because it's fun.
Well, I mean, like, I enjoy speculating on fantastic things.
Yes.
And I like... I've always really got the little moniker in the X-Files where it says I want to believe. Like, I really do. Like, I love mm-hmm. the idea that there's life on other planets. I like the idea of being able to communicate with the dead. But I'm also kind of my own, like, skeptic
mm-hmm.
on the sense of that. Because, like, I need good, hard facts in front of me if you
yes.
want me to get behind something. So, like, I'm... Oftentimes, like, that part of me gets silenced because I'm just like, that's dumb. That's not,
now,
that's
for instance,
not real.
They were talking to a woman who said, and so-and-so took a picture of the ghost, and I asked her to send it to me, but she couldn't send it to me, so I took a picture of it on her... What? She couldn't send you a photo? She couldn't...
Make a copy?
Send you a photo.
I mean, sure, if it's 1811, I believe that.
No, it's last week. She can send you a photo. Boom. So, there's that. It's... They did a thing on the Bermuda Triangle, which has always fascinated me. Why? Leonard Nimoy in search of Bermuda Triangle. So fascinating.
Speaking of Star Trek actors in certain roles, Jonathan Frakes also did the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
He did.
He was host, or the, I think that's what it was. But both of them were hosts of, just basically they're like, this thing is strange. Here it is. Like,
yes,
and of course it was the first officers of the two respective, like, enterprises that, for whatever reason, both of them went on shows similar to that. But, yeah, I was always a fan of seeing things like that, especially, you know, the Bermuda Triangle or, you know, like, why does this do this around this time of year? Like, it's just,
yes.
It's fun.
The Bermuda Triangle thing is fascinating. And then when they have researched all of the different theories, some of them is like, I see how you came to that theory, and the others are, well, that's just insane. And it's just fun to hear those as well.
Yeah.
It is disturbing when they go and visit the mental asylums where, you know, back in the day, if you had epilepsy or ADHD, you were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and so they could experiment on you and starve you and do all sorts of great things.
It's, kind of like we had the discussion about, like, the Hangman, you know, cafe. It's just, it's not okay. I don't even think it was okay then,
no.
But I guess, you know, you didn't have, I'm going to assume a lot of people didn't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, access to information wasn't what it is now.
Could you imagine if Robin Williams was born in the 1300s and acted the same way, without any cocaine, but acted the same way as his most frenetic riff.
Well, he is a heretic, and he's probably burned at the stake.
Probably. And he's just a...
But it's before it got him, it was hysterical.
It was good stuff. But when you've got a mind that goes here, there, can do all the voices, well,
and
clearly
then,
he's possessed.
And then you add cocaine to it.
Yes. I mean...
Man.
I say that like I did cocaine.
Well, I'm just saying, there's if you will watch the... Stand
it was
up.
Meant to be. In the 80s, it appeared to be very glamorous and thinning.
The stand-up he
don't
does
do cocaine.
When he is probably inebriated in some way
mm-hmm.
versus, say, like the shows he did, he did one much later in his life. I think it was just live on Robin Williams mm-hmm. Live on Broadway. And, I mean, it's funny. Like, even when Robin Williams isn't that funny, he's still, like, 90% funnier than everyone else on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even you could see a difference there. And I'm not saying cocaine made him funnier, but, oh, my
goodness.
It changed
his brain.
It rewired him in a way mm-hmm. that was financially beneficial to him.
Yes. But...
But don't do cocaine.
Don't do cocaine. We're not saying to do it at all. Where do you even get it? I mean, he's like...
I mean, from Hollywood?
I guess.
Seems to be
do
the
they
place
still do that?
To do it. I mean, I think...
I don't hear about it much.
It's probably because they're not, like, hashtag, like, cocaine, and then, like, tweeting pictures of it. Like,
or maybe
I think that's a no-no.
Now, here's the thing. Maybe it's just not in the movies that have been made of late that are, you know, current day. Because it seems to me in the 80s and early 90s...
It was everywhere.
Yes, there were lots of cocaine, according to the movies and TV shows.
Well, I would say that was also probably influenced by, like, politics at the time. Because there was a war on drugs.
Oh, that's right.
You were probably allowed to show cocaine in your movie as long as the person that was doing it was evil and they were shot by good by the
okay.
end of the film.
I'm guessing about that.
As much as they would make, you know, certain characters would smoke, or the same mm-hmm. way that you want, like, an athlete to wear your shoe and just be like, oh, yeah, this shoe makes me faster and jump higher.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in the same way they were kind of doing it, but in the reverse way that, like, you wanted to wear Air Jordans because you wanted to be like Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do cocaine because you're going to end up like that guy right there that just got shot by RoboCop. Do you want mm-hmm. RoboCop to shoot
no,
you?
No, I don't!
No, then don't do cocaine, kids. Okay. Don't do cocaine.
All right. Interesting. You didn't think that this show had a message, and yet it does.
don't do cocaine.
So, it's a fun show, and... How young of a kid can watch it? Well, these...
RoboCop? Not too young.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
These guys are generically 30-ish. You know, I don't know how old they are. They're not teenagers and they're not 50, so they're, you know.
That's a big, like, area of... I mean, they're just, listen, they can, you know, put their own pants on, they can button up their shirt, they can feed themselves, but, you know, we're not sending them to the old folks' home, so they're... Somewhere in there.
They're adults.
They don't have wrinkles around their eyes yet. So.
They're working on it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one of them is 28, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, 30-ish.
Full call.
And they will drop a few unsavory to some words now and then, but I guess the creepiest thing and where you have to make the judgment call with your children or even non-children would be sometimes they show photos of something that had happened there, and even though the photo is like 100 years old, it's still, ugh. Or maybe just what they're discussing is kind of, ugh, because part of what they're saying is based in fact, and then the other is purely conjecture or, you know, craziness. So... It has a high entertainment value, but I can also see, if I had watched this when I was 10 years old, I would have been scared out of my mind.
Well, I mean, as much as I loved Ghostbusters as a kid, and I thought...
This wasn't
scary,
thank goodness.
This was fun. I mean, there were parts of it that were scary to me, but like it was immediately followed up by
the Gray Lady.
Yeah, like I mean that like she was pretty scary. But luckily we're immediately outside, brightly lit, and they're doing something goofy running away from her. So it doesn't like stick around in the same way that like you know Jason gets a machete and just stabs a teenager 47 times. That gets to stay scary. Ghostbusters immediately chased it with usually something humorous.
Yes. This, there are laughs to be had. Not boisterous ones, but it's amusing. And I think teenagers would find it amusing. And it, especially teenagers and young 20s, there are things that maybe they just weren't like you and I and didn't have this wide range of weird stuff they know. I think most teenagers have heard of Lizzie Borden and the Bermuda Triangle, but outside of that, they go through a lot of other things where it's just like, oh, that's a thing, and then you talk about it.
At least there might be a passing familiarity with it.
Yes, and so it's interesting to discuss how these legends came to be. By the way, they never get actual proof of anything. I know that's shocking, but Shane, the non-believer, he really, really wants to go with Area 51. And the Area 51 stuff that they had just made me think of Mulder so much. But it really was fascinating on, so this guy did this, and this guy did this, then this guy changed his story. And, you know, this is all based on actual facts. I'm like, huh, I didn't even know that.
Well, okay, when you have, you know, the person dressed in a chicken costume screaming at you that, you know, the world is ending, you're not as concerned because you're like, that idiot's dressed in a chicken costume.
He's just looking for Peter Griffin.
Like, that's just
Peter? Nuts.
But then you get somebody that can kind of rationalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can draw lines to, this person said this, but if you'll notice, that's when stuff starts gaining, like, credibility.
Yes.
That's the reason why the reputation of the individual, like, in whomever is bringing it up, also has a good deal of whether or not you're finding this plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially when you're talking about something fantastic, like, you know, the paranormal or, you know, time travel or aliens or anything
like that. So, Area 51, I believe something happened, but that something could have been something totally innocuous, but it was bungled in how it was handled, and so then it appeared to be a conspiracy.
And it just
went from there, but it could just have been, it could have been a weather balloon, it could have been this, it could have been that, but somebody dropped the ball and made it appear to be something else, and then they had to go, oh, now we got to go fix this. Or it could have been, I know this is hard to believe, but sometimes the government doesn't want you to know about stuff that would worry you.
Well, my 6-year-old, who was at the time 4,
mm-hmm.
had decided that I was Green Arrow. I worked at night
uh-huh.
at the time, so I was gone for, you know, 8 to 12 hours, 5 nights a week. I do try to exercise regularly. So he decided, because I exercised and I was gone at night, that I was the Green Arrow.
I can see how that happened.
Where
did you keep your billions?
Well, I mean, he's 4, so he didn't have it all. Credibility of the source
all right.
Also does have a good deal to do with that. But every time I tried to explain to him that I wasn't, because, I mean, he was sold on this for a minute. But I was sitting there going, you know, this probably just makes me sound like I'm covering it up. And I'm like, no, buddy, I'm not the Green Arrow. I mean, every time somebody would try to back Clark Kent into the corner about being Superman, he'd be like, no, no, it wasn't that. Like, I just, you know what I'm talking about, Lois. cut to the credits. I was sitting there going, is this what it sounds like to him?
When my children were like 2 and 3 years old and there was less of me to look at, I was often called to do some Marilyn stuff, and I had Marilyn Monroe look-alike dresses that I still have in my closet that now just fit my left arm, but I still have them. And so we had some DVDs because people just give me DVDs because people used to watch them. And I remember the girls being very young and seeing a few Marilyn Monroe movie DVDs, and one of them, they was positive that I was that lady because the dresses hanging in the closet, they weren't
also
wrong.
Looked
same color hair, and I had the same shoes. Now, I didn't have the exact same shoes, but they were close because I got them to wear with the dress for the thing I had to do. And after several conversations trying to convince them that I was not indeed this person, I just said, fine, believe whatever you want.
It's like, it really
I'm done.
It's fun looking at it through that childlike like prism. Like another time, one of my boys was talking to his stuffed lion. Now, he was scared of the storm that was going on, and he reassured him that everything was going to be fine.
The lion reassured him?
No, he reassured his lion.
Oh.
I think it was him doing a stand-in and reassuring himself.
I see.
But I could hear him talking to the lion, and he's like, what was the character? Mace Windu, Batman, and Dad are all here, because we had a Batman, like, toy, a Mace Windu toy, and Dad, he's like, and Dad will protect us. And I'm like, I am neither a Jedi Master, nor was I trained by the League of Assassins. I don't want to disappoint my son, but, like, I can't follow up to any of that. Like, I work in retail. We're going to let him have his delusion that his father is on the same pedestal as the aforementioned gentleman. I'm not even going to talk him out of it, because that makes me sleep better.
Yeah, yeah. Does he still think that you're...
No, he's past that. That's not cool now.
Ooh.
But at one point, he was in the same, like, upper pantheon that Mace Windu and Batman. I was part of that rarefied air.
Yeah, that won't happen again until, you know, maybe grandchildren.
No. They're going to be cynics, like their grandpa and his kids became. I'm gonna have to enjoy that moment and revisit it, because I don't think it's ever going to come again.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, BuzzFeed Unsolved is where my children have turned to learn interesting things that I didn't teach them. So in a way, I resent it, because they'll come up with something like, how did you know of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Which sounds like a line at the end of an Agatha Christie novel.
Sadly, it is not. And it's because of BuzzFeed Unsolved. And so now it's a whole thing, constant watching. The Supernatural ones are on Hulu right now. I'm sure you can find all of this on YouTube as well.
I would be willing to bet.
Yes, BuzzFeed is everywhere and treated as actual news by some people.
News-ish.
News.
News-adjacent.
It is news-adjacent. It's a great place for memes, and... I think this show has merit in that it at least changes the conversation once in a while.
Walter Cronkite is rolling over.
I know.
In his grave.
I know.
I'm Walter Cronkite, reporting for BuzzFeed News.
I miss him. Anyway, so I think you would enjoy it, and I think anyone 13 and up could probably handle it, depending, you know, your kid better than I do. But,
or if you want to horrify your child.
Have at it.
Then, you know,
but that's on you.
Soon as they can comprehend, you know, dialogue on television.
Yeah, this is all real. Watch
boom,
it.
Boom, there you go.
Okay.
Just walk out of the room.
So it's some funny, weird, wild, wacky stuff. So thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
You've been listening to Binge or Cringe. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center.